You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
We have a little update. So I mentioned that there was a statue in Dublin where everyone rubs the boobs. And I was saying in Slack how men are so horny that they'll literally rub the boobs of a statue. And then we found out, the video team discovered, there's a statue in France where women rub this statue's penis because they think it will give them good fertility luck. So that is the rubbed penis of a statue in France.
And they kiss the mouth, it looks like.
Apparently. So this is all just another reason why maybe it's better to not have a statue.
Newsflash, everybody's horny.
Put it on the poll, please, at Le Batard Show. Are men so horny that they will touch the
good
boobs?
Good podcast name.
The boobs of a statue.
Everyone's horny, not are men so horny that they'll touch the boobs of a statue.
We have been talking for a while about how CBS's demo is Angela Lansbury. That it's what CBS is just going for generally. And last night on Sunday night, and this is reassuring. First of all, they start in the morning with that CBS magazine show, and they've got no problem going 90 seconds just watching a stream.
That's what Jane Pauley's all about.
So good. 90 seconds just hearing the sounds of a stream. Yeah. But
at that age, a 90-second stream, oh.
The day ending with Stugat, Masters, 60 minutes, and then a Billy Joel concert that for some reason they cut away from in the middle of Piano Man to go to the local news on.
They somehow skewed older as the day went on, and they started with golf.
It's so hard to do. It's so hard to do, and yet CBS managed to do it. I imagine their late-night programming was just mummies.
I'm so tired of the local news cutting into things and you missing shows because of the local news. Like, respectfully, local news, who cares? Like, I know the news. By 11 o'clock, I'm in bed. I've checked the news. I know the news for the day.
This was crazy because Billy Joel was his 100th show at Madison Square Garden, which is, it's really cool. To have a residency there is really, really cool.
He does it once a month, correct?
He does it once a month. It was his 100th show, but he's singing Piano Man. He's getting to the good stuff. He's got like 5 or 6 songs left in him, and they cut to CBS local news, and I was outraged. I was still awake, and I was outraged. I wanted to see the end of Piano Man.
But he's done it 100 times.
I know.
And also, not to like reveal too much in case Lehman's family's listening, but they gave us tickets to go see that when we were in New York. And we were like, oh, we can't go. We have plans.
Wow.
Really?
I mean, we did have plans, but we could have canceled.
Did you sell them?
Sells out all the time.
They sold the tickets. The rest of his family went. But Lehman's like,
put it on the poll, please, Juju, at Le Batard Show. Can you cut into Piano Man for the local news?
You can't.
Very little in journalism has taken the hit that local news has taken in terms of daily relevance.
You know what the local news is great for? Cut in and tell me when there's a tornado. People always complain about that, but that is a vital... There was a tornado two days ago.
Unless it's a show I like, then leave me alone.
If you're breaking into Piano Man, it better be a Cat 5, and it better be right over my house.
I'd better be missing my house after the news update is done if you're cutting into Piano Man.
He's done Piano Man 100 times.
This happened during the Masters this weekend, right? Where there was that scary 5 seconds where the announcer says, we're cutting to CBS News for a special announcement. And it's like breaking news, and I'm like, what war are we in? Like, what is happening? If you're cutting it, you get those 5 seconds where I have no idea what's about to happen.
You're breaking
into
Masters.
It was Iran sending drones to Israel, and it was just like, I have no idea what's going to happen here.
Freak me out. I feel like that's a good reason to cut in.
Yeah.
America is in unprecedented territory. For the first time, a former United States president faces criminal charges in court. In one corner, a sleazy, slutty prostitute with no shame or credibility. In the other, Stormy Daniels. Donald Trump faces charges that he paid $130,000 in hush money to a porn star. No former president has ever stood trial before. This is the first of 4 criminal trials Donald Trump faces.
This is very serious.
Right.
Was that Hank?
Is that a live cut-in? I mean.
That was a live cut-in.
We're just getting to the good part of the Dan Le Batard show. It's dude.
My house better be missing after
this.
What
happened here? What are we doing?
That's happening today. A criminal trial that's never happened before. On trial for felonies, a former U.S. president. I'm going to give you just some bonus facts on Donald Trump over the course of the show today, just so that we don't normalize some of the stuff that is happening, including, again, the first ever United States president with a criminal trial. And this is apparently the least damaging of the 4 trials. If reelected, this is a bonus fact, Donald Trump reportedly wants to bring back firing squads.
Cool. Sounds good.
As president, Donald Trump spent $15,000 a month in taxpayer dollars on golf carts.
For Tiger or?
As president, go sit outside, Jeremy. As president, Donald Trump appointed a surgeon to run the housing department. Donald Trump has claimed that his daughter has personally created 14 million jobs.
That's more jobs than Tony's created.
That's so
when you're in
jobs,
economy, Bobby, you know?
That's so many jobs, 14 million jobs. That's a thing that's happening during the show today. It's not just felonious criminal trial. It's also involving a porn star. Be a little hard to disgrace the office more than that.
Little hard, phrasing.
How do we feel about how serious that that sounded? Was that Hank? That was Hank. That sounded like Hank.
More concerned about the timing.
The voice actor of a generation. When is the right time to break into felonious former U.S. president on trial for...
Not when we're talking Piano Man.
For hush.
Weird. He's done it 100 times.
Yeah,
you can't really be mad. Also, speaking of like CBS's demographic, I keep seeing clips from the concert Greg Cody went to in L.A. and all the old crooners that were on stage, including some young crooners too, I will admit, but like I can't think of a more Greg Cody thing than that concert. I'm excited to hear from him tomorrow.
And Will Arnett.
The average age had to have been in like the mid-80s.
He's going to be so tired tomorrow.
I saw Will Arnett in the middle
right
of that.
Right in the middle of it.
Pitbull right at the end of it for some reason.
He was
Pitbull.
Killing it over on the side. Yeah.
He's a little older now.
I found myself feeling some of what Billy found himself feeling with one of the things that happened at Coachella, Stugat. Will Smith came out and did a version of Men in Black, and I don't know that Will Smith has made it back from that Oscar slap yet. He's going to one of his franchises by going and doing Bad Boys, and that's going to supposedly, it just got done filming here in Miami, and it's coming out in June, super fast. And I assume it's tied to Will Smith trying to get back into the game in some ways, because he's largely just gone away, has he not, since slapping Chris Rock at the Oscars?
Well, not by choice. He was kind of forced away, right? Like, it seemed like everyone was trying to get away from him. I feel like, and I could be wrong, Will Smith was only doing Men in Black because of the Chris Rock slap, right? Like, this is him trying to, like, make his public reappearance. And look, I'm doing this thing.
It's a safe zone.
Like, yeah. But had that not happened, do you think that in 2024, Will Smith would be at Coachella performing the Men in Black song?
I think it's the same reason he's doing Bad Boys, that both of those, like, these are very...
Well, that money.
Bad Boys for a check, though.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, but I think he wants back in with the signature things that people remember him positively for. Bad Boys and Men in Black are obviously two of them, and these economies are so giant, Stugatz, with so many employees. They're all trying so hard to figure out the correct way to sustain the economy, to not have the economy further damage, because Will Smith, over a 10-year run, you could have made the argument that he was the biggest movie star in Hollywood. That, for 10 years, you could have made that argument. And certainly, if not the biggest star, top five, top 10.
Oh, easily, Dan.
Yeah, but then I Am Legend came out, and that was that.
Yeah.
Well, it's his personal life that doesn't allow him to remain this way, right? Because you get the slap, and you get all these things about his personal life that you hear, and maybe people lose respect for him, and then all of a sudden, hey, maybe he shouldn't be the main man on a, you know, $20 million salary movie. Like, I think that reputation is sort of where he lost a lot of respect from fans. And if you put him in front of things, if you put him, you know, as a head man in a movie, I think it's probably going to get laughed at. At least it was, you know, between the slap and now.
Billy, you felt pity for him over the weekend.
I felt bad because he's, you know, out there, and I don't think that he'd be doing this had that not happened. And it was kind of like awkward.
Had he not slapped Chris Rock, he chose to do that. But you're saying if he didn't do it, if he chose not to do it.
He did choose that.
He did choose to do that. That was his choice. Yes. But I think he was doing it from a noble place. I'm still trying to understand that whole situation.
He's also chosen some bad movies throughout the last couple of years. Yeah. Like Gemini Man was terrible. And it's like, how many more times can we put him attached to a movie that it's like, oh, it's Will Smith, but like, wow, this movie sucks.
He was an orc on Netflix somewhere.
I will say this.
If I don't you know
were,
what that means.
If you were... Well, if you were at Coachella and you were on drugs and there's this giant alien head there, and then all of a sudden there's a bunch of dancing aliens and Will Smith appears.
What do you mean if, by the way? If you were on
that
drugs.
That probably did very well.
I mean, that sounds hands. Awesome. Yeah. Have you guys ever done the Men in Black ride at Universal?
Oh, I love
if
that
If that's
ride.
Will Smith's yes. legacy, like that's a great that legacy ride. To have. Hey, it's the best ride.
Can I get spoiler alert? Spoiler alert on the Men in Black ride.
Wait, tell me.
Spoiler
is there,
alert.
Is there like a key to winning it?
Spoiler alert. The entire ride, they tell you don't push that button. You push it. Yeah. Right when
Wait,
they say,
what?
Yeah, right at the end, there's a moment where they say push it, and the first person that pushes it in the cart gets a ton of bonus points.
That's right.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Wow.
That's Everybody spins
good
around.
Information.
Dan, have you ever been on that ride?
I
we got to do a
so.
Theme park as a show
Such
together.
A good, I'll go Absolutely. Universal with
Let's
the show.
Do it. Let's have a show theme park.
Dan,
day.
When was the last time you went to a theme park, got into a ride?
I have been on a ride, and you're going to have to help me with which one it is. There's a lot of shooting.
The Avatar
a
one.
A lot of shooting. No, Buzz I've been Lightyear. On that one.
Men
I've
in
been
Black.
On the Avatar
Men in Black
one,
is a shooting
it's
game.
Target shooting.
That's Men in Black. You're talking okay, about so. Men
Buzz
in Black.
It's Buzz Lightyear.
It's
Lightyear
so memorable.
Is the game where you shoot the plates?
You shoot the aliens.
It's I was
Toy Story Mania.
I was terrible at getting the points. Everybody was beating me. I was not very good at shooting. I don't remember what we
Men
were
in
shooting.
Hmm. And you always say your button's broken on the gun. It's like it's jammed. I don't know what's happening.
Something's
here.
Going
yeah.
on here.
Yeah,
classic.
Frustrated.
Yeah.
Sensor's not
I've
working.
I've told you before
that last week,
though, the Avatar ride is the single most amazing ride I've ever been on. The single most realistic, ridiculous ride I have ever seen. It had 8-hour lines when we were there.
Short the fact that it's all fantasy land, so it's not that realistic.
You clearly haven't been on the Hagrid ride, Dan. Come on.
It's Who? A children's roller coaster.
You didn't get it right. By that one, Dan? When you're there and it's like the things are moving.
It gives me
moving.
Un mareo.
It
some
gives
of those.
Me tremendo mareo.
Yeah.
Makes
the
me
video
throw
ones,
up.
I hate
no,
it. Thank you. I want reality, Jack.
Hey, it's Mike. As you know, sports are a bit crazy right now. Kind of feels like everything is happening all at once, and you have to make some decisions to prioritize if you want to support your team or go out and see some of these games. Well, I've got a recommendation for you. As someone that loves sports and loves attending live sporting events, you're always hunting the secondary market for hard-to-find tickets. I've been out there in those streets, and I know the best possible place for me and you is Game Time. It's an incredible app that is so upfront with its pricing. It's an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes getting playoff tickets even faster and easier. Game Time, tons of last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. Take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Dan Le Batard.
I went in the margins. I'm like.
You're Moneyball of sex?
I'm basically Scott Hatterberg.
A lot of
walking.
Stugats.
A lot of walks, but I'm on base.
When it comes to sex, a lot of foul tips. Other dudes, they can be Giambi.
You know your role you play well.
I know my role.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats.
Izzy knows a great deal about the history of basketball, and we were talking about Jalen Brunson here and his glow-up in going into New York, and I just don't think that we've had many basketball players ever who have been able to change without winning a championship the way they are viewed more than Jimmy Butler. During the last postseason, he was photographed in Paris with Shakira, and it was surmised or whispered, it was never confirmed, that they may have been seeing each other. And then last week, and this is the continuation of what appears to be a public flirtation, Camila Cabello is on the sidelines there, and Jimmy is fooling around behind her, just taking pictures while his team is in the timeout huddle. He's just fooling around outside of it. And I wanted to ask the group, because I think I may be alone in here, having watched Jimmy all season, knowing how hard those free throws are to come by, seeing where his legs sometimes betrayed him, even during last year's finals. I'm not sitting here expecting more of these 40-point games from Jimmy. I don't believe that playoff Jimmy's going to make an appearance with a bunch of 15-for-21s. And Stugat says he's done doubting Jimmy in any form, but I just don't think you can keep putting that kind of mileage on the body and legs. Maybe.
I had no idea where that question was going, Dan. You started off with telling everybody that I know NBA history, and then we go through Shakira, Camila Cabello.
Camila.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And now we're asking if Jimmy can be playoff. Jimmy, is that the question?
I am asking if I'm the only one here who doesn't expect it this year. I'm not expecting them.
No.
You're with me on this, Jessica?
I'm with you on this, Dan.
Yes.
I'm with you in this respect. He only needs one of those a series.
Correct.
He needs one game a series to show everybody, hey, I can still do this if necessary. Fortunately, I've got a bunch of talented teammates as well. Don't need to do it every time.
The thing with Jimmy and when it comes to free throws is if he averages between 12 and 14 free throws a game, which he's very capable of doing, that helps this team so much and slows down the other team, slows down the game. Like, I don't know if we can expect that against Philadelphia, for example, because they're a matchup nightmare for him to get into the paint and be able to produce that
but
way he struggled against them recently.
This is if you're going to summon this thing that he can summon allegedly whenever he wants to, it's needed right now. You need to get the two. You need to be playing the two seed, not the one seed. Like, if right now the playoffs begin, obviously by schedule, but if Jimmy Butler's going to do the 15 free throw thing, now is the time that it needs to be done. You do not want the Boston Celtics first.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I would expect him to do that. Does it mean 45 points like he had against Milwaukee or in those Lakers games several years ago? No, not necessarily. Oftentimes, the best version of Jimmy Butler and the best version of this year's team in particular is him shooting 12 to 14 free throws, getting to about 28 points officially, and also adding 6 or 7 dimes. Because that's where, when you're getting the rest of this team involved with them, it's been all about ball movement. Last year, driving into the lane and kicking out to Max and Gabe for threes was a huge part of their offense. This year, it's all been ball movement when that team looks good offensively.
If you doubt Jimmy enough, Dan, if you doubt him enough times, eventually you're going to be right. But I think he thrives on going to Philadelphia, going to a place that got rid of Jimmy Butler for Tobias Harris. Like, I think he thrives on playing that game in Philadelphia and having a big game in Philadelphia.
My point is that this is the situation for it to make an appearance, and I don't expect them. I expect them to go to Philadelphia and lose.
This is where I agree with you is now this is the time because of the play-in, because you're saying, hey, Boston in the first round is you're asking to be knocked out. So this needs to be treated like a game seven. If you were going into a game seven with Jimmy Butler, you're expecting now is the time, especially when you got Philly. Tobias Harris over me, the Ben Simmons situation. Like, he's got all the motivation to dominate this one game and say, okay, Embiid, you go deal with the Celtics. I don't expect it, however.
In an effort to be the voice of the audience, I am so exhausted by the playoff Jimmy conversation. Like, this year, the Heat have just felt, like, very especially vibeless, I think.
But they're the same as last year. They're the same as last year.
They're better than last year.
They're the same team.
No
truce. They're more hurt. They've been more hurt this year.
They're better than last year.
Are they? They had the same record.
The players on the team are better than the players on the team last year.
That's right.
Jokic, Terry Rozier, two upgrades right there.
I don't know. I'm exhausted by it.
Right. But it hasn't even started yet.
I feel like
yet.
We've done the same. Like, we just did the same seasons back-to-back year. Like, we're doing it all over same, again.
Right.
Again and again and again.
And you're choosing not to trust someone who has done it two times in three years.
I understand what you're doing there, but I will say, and I continue to say, how spoiled this market is. This unacceptable season for the Heat is the best Knicks season in 10 years. The Knicks are presently celebrating.
Don't make it about the Knicks.
No, but the Knicks are super excited and loud. New York is awfully loud about being the two seeds, Stugatz, because they think they've done something by winning 50 games, and they'll tell you at every turn that if they hadn't been injured, they would have won a lot more games. That team is the two seed in the conference and is feeling itself when it's just put up a season that has frustrated Heat fans. The same season. The difference between the Knicks and the Heat this year is that the Heat lost to Memphis at home, Washington at home, and twice to Brooklyn. That's the difference between the two teams. And it's not because the Heat are less good than those teams. It's because the Heat have not put any sort of importance on the regular season if you're looking how many other guys are sitting out all the time.
But it's obviously about expectations. The Heat have different kind of expectations. They expect when you have teams with LeBron and Wade and those types of teams that win NBA championships, and Wade and Shaq, they expect to win championships or compete for championships. The Knicks are just happy to be there.
All right, but if that's the expectation, then here's what I've got for you. Sixers are historic chokers. Embiid has never won an important game. You've got one against them right now. You want Philadelphia out of your life? Make them play Boston. You want Philadelphia out of here? Beat them now. Beat all the Tobias Harris stuff. You chose Tobias Harris over me. Here you go. I just think the Jimmy I've seen this year doesn't have those legs. Jimmy I've seen this year looks like Jimmy against Denver in the finals where he just didn't have what it is that I wanted from him. Now, maybe because it's so hard, Stugatz, physically on the body, if I were him, I would also say, I'm not doing the 15 free throws a game until I get to the playoffs. I've got no reason to do it. LeBron said the quiet part out loud the other day, Stugatz. He said, I'm not jeopardizing my health for seeding. Do not care where the seeding is. I have to be healthy for game one of the playoffs. That's the thing that's more important. So if Jimmy's out there trying to get 20 free throws, that's how he gets to the 40 points.
This is a bad time for Jimmy to rely on that because we saw this second half of the regular season, referees swallowed whistles. They're not, those same playoff fouls he was getting last season were often not being called right now in the regular season. So if you imagine it's going to get tougher to get those calls in the playoffs, good luck, Jimmy.
And it was so interesting because last game against the 76ers, one that the Heat needed, Jimmy really didn't play all that well. He, I think, was 7 of 17 from the field in that game, inefficient. And the biggest thing that you noticed was Kyle Lowry oftentimes was guarding him. He had the mismatch and yet wasn't going into the paint, wasn't trying to go into the paint, wasn't trying to back down Kyle Lowry. I don't understand why he didn't take advantage in that regular season game. But to your point, Dan, if you're not trying to go that through that physical toll in a regular season game, I don't care about seeding, blah, blah, blah.
I'll be ready for the playoffs, you would expect that switch to flip come Wednesday.
The thing is, it's almost, you don't know if you can't flip the switch until you can't flip the switch, right? You get to a point where it's like, oh, it's Kyle Lowry. Yeah, like he stopped me on the block four times. I couldn't get anything on Kyle Lowry, but it's the chess move of, wait, I'll do it in the playoffs. Well, now you're here. Now you're going to see Kyle Lowry in the block again when he stopped you four different times on four different plays. Like now it's here, Jimmy.
I remember the first part of the 2010s with the San Antonio Spurs, what they looked like. Whenever they won, they were experienced, and whenever they lost, they were old. That's how that one happened, and we've talked before about it's not whether Jimmy can do it once. For sure he can do it once. It's can you do it four times in seven games so that you get it to the next round so that we can get to watch it again. It's that as you age, what leaves you is your ability to consistently do it. Not to do it, because you can still do it. It's consistently do it. You lose the consistency.
We already had that. We've already experienced those. And at the end of the series, if they lose it, we say, oh, Bam needs to do more. Oh, they need Tyler to be healthy. It's not Jimmy needs to do it more often. And so for you to say it's four times in a series, that's way too much.
Why is Jimmy the guy that we're questioning in the playoff equation
here? So weird.
He's done it. He's taken two teams to the NBA Finals. The guys we should be looking at are guys like Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Donovan Mitchell.
Because I think Duncan Robinson is more important from what I've seen from them this year.
Than Jimmy Butler.
I've seen all year Jimmy Butler put up 90-point games when he doesn't have Duncan Robinson out there. The way that they've been playing with Duncan Robinson, I'm not saying that Duncan Robinson's a better player. What I am saying is the same thing that the LeBron James, Norris Cole Heat said about Chris Bosh. Chris Bosh isn't better than LeBron James, but he's more important to what it is that they were doing.
To be clear, Jimmy Butler did not have 90 points in the game multiple times.
No, I like this, though, as a premise for the show. Like, we just stop talking about Jimmy Butler and just put all the pressure on Duncan Robinson. Yes. He has to have a good playoff.
Jeremy, you have been watching a whole bunch of 90...
He's not playing? What?
90
oh,
point,
my God. The
we're
Heat
doomed.
Are screwed.
Thanks for watching.
90-point Miami Heat games with Jimmy Butler and Bam out there. It's why they traded for Rozier.
Right. They needed instant offense. Duncan Robinson is probably their third most important player throughout this season. Kevin Love, who just got hurt on Sunday, another hugely important player to providing offense and the way he gets the ball down the floor. Nice. But Terry Rozier, and for that matter, Tyler Hero, who we have not been talking about all season because he missed he missed 20 games. Yeah. He's been great since returning offensively. He's been their best player offensively, a factor that wasn't there last postseason. So when you talk about this team and you talk about what you need in a series, Tyler Hero is ultimately going to be a really, really important piece to what they do offensively.
So I understand that, Jeremy, but the question that I have now is when you have all these mismatched pieces that haven't played together, you got Rozier, you've got Tyler, you've got Bam, you've got Jimmy, you've got Duncan if he comes back later on, how are they going to all work together? There's one ball, yep, right? Like it's Jimmy centric
culture
world, but like you can only hold down Tyler Hero on shots so long. You can only hold down Terry Rozier on shots for so long.
Well, that's what I was saying about ball movement with this team, because realistically, as many individual pieces that exist that are there that can go get theirs, right? They have four different guys who are 20-point a game scorers. That's not what it's been when this team is good. When this team is good, they've got six or seven different guys scoring in double figures. They're moving the ball. It's not just Jimmy iso ball. And we've seen late in games throughout the regular season them struggle when it's gone to just iso ball. That's when they've gone through these stretches of 6 or 7 minutes without scoring. The hope is that Jimmy's able to elevate his game, get to his spots, hit some big shots late. But that hasn't been what's been good about this team this season. They are a different team from last year. Mm-hmm. It's just that we're looking at the overall Jimmy era and saying, all right, they're just about the same every year.
Oh, God, I'm a Jess. This is exhausting.
While they haven't played together that many times, and it is going to be kind of a difficult job for Spo to figure this out and make all these pieces work together, this is when you really lean into that culture.
Oh, don't do that.
I hate you.
I knew the setup when he was going on. I was like,
this is what they do in the offseason. This is when they do the training camps at the
Let
Army
bases. Let me restate what I was saying before. What I was saying before, just to be clear, that they've looked their best this season when Duncan Robinson is starting. They were like 16-2 or something when he was starting and scoring 20 points. And
most improved player ever.
And Jimmy Butler can go through the postseason going 7-for-17 which is what I thought he was when he got here. If they're getting that,
what he was.
If they're getting that from Duncan Robinson, their offenses look totally different when he's playing. Totally different.
This is Tyler Hero's playoffs to lose.
Yeah.
Is what I'm hearing.
I think you guys are forgetting the way Philadelphia just attacked him on the defensive end when he played at the end of that
very
game.
Very exposed.
They were up by 8 points, and they didn't hit a bucket in the final eight
That's
minutes.
Right. And Philadelphia kept the whole time attacking Tyler Hero when Miami wasn't scoring at all.
Don Libertard.
A few blocks from here, somebody was killed with a samurai sword.
Hmm.
How the hell is someone being killed with a samurai sword?
Guess by impaling.
Thank you, Mike.
Stugatz.
Do we know that it was intentional? Because I know of someone that was stabbed with a samurai sword once, but it was an accident. Like, the person was doing a school project, and there was a scene where there was, like, a samurai sword, like, stabbing situation, and the person was on the ground, and they were supposed to roll one way, and they rolled the other way by mistake, and accidentally got stabbed with the samurai sword. As far as I know, they've made a full recovery, but it could be an accident.
This is the Don Libertard Show with the Stugatz.
Stugatz, did you see what happened with Boban yesterday in a game for the Houston Rockets that didn't mean anything because they're out of the playoffs?
I did not. No.
Toward the end of the game, are you learning right now that Boban is on the Houston Rockets? Is that something that you're presently learning in real time?
Yes.
All right. So Boban, at the end of this game, they are up by 7 or 8 points. And the crowd gets free chicken if he misses a second consecutive free throw. If the opponent misses two free throws, the crowd gets chicken. He is not a good free throw shooter.
Mm-hmm.
He is let's watch him here. Let's play this. He has got unusually sized ears, Stugatz.
Yeah.
For a man of any size, but
proportional,
especially
though,
his size. Yeah. Are they proportional?
I don't know, I feel
ears?
Like
yeah, they're proportional.
I think of Boban as somebody who starred in John Wick. I don't even associate him anymore with basketball. I associate him with the John Wick movies. But watch what happens here when he realizes that he can get the home crowd, he can get them some chicken with some missed free throws.
Fans are getting excited here. There might potentially be some free chicken on the board if he misses the second free throw.
Oh, man, free chicken on the board.
Yeah, so that's why the fans are getting a little frothy.
Oh, they're pointing to you. Boban's playing with the crowd. Say, you want chicken?
Here's your job.
Oh, he gave him chicken. He's a man of the people. He's a man of the people.
He did that on purpose?
He did. He gave out free chicken.
Career 78% free throw shooter, Dan.
Oh, is he? Okay, my bad.
He gave them chicken is one of the greatest yes. calls in sports broadcasting history.
I think, put it on the poll, please, Juju. Should he gave them chicken replace Do You Believe in Miracles as one of the greatest calls in broadcasting history? I believe the announcer also said he's a man of the people, which he absolutely is.
Oh, when you get someone food, you're a man of the people. Yeah. I love free food being attached to sports accomplishments. I had a free Whopper Jr. yesterday, thanks to the Marlins winning at home. It took a long time to get there. But we finally got there.
Mm.
And here's the trick, friends, if you want to know how you beat the system until they figure out this trick and then you can no longer beat the system.
Gain the system?
Well, one, Burger King gained the system because they have to win games at home. That has been much of a challenge this year. The second, but the way that you as a consumer gain the system, you can get one per account. So if you and a loved one want to go together, you can each order one of these free sandwiches. Wow. And then there's lunch for freezies. Went in there yesterday with two different phones. They looked at me like I was a crazy person, but I had two phones. Lunch on them.
How are you guys using the verb? What is the verb you're saying on blank?
I don't know.
Blank the system? How is it that you were
beat the system?
No, but you
gaining
said
the system.
Game the system?
Gain the system.
Game, not gain, right?
I don't know.
Game the system.
It's games. You guys definitely said gain.
Yeah, it's a fun.
Tax day.
I was just curious whether or not sometimes I get
good
that
point.
Stuff wrong. Yeah. So, yes, it is to game the system. What would gaining the system be?
I have no idea. Well, I would have drained that free throw, though. Yeah. I mean,
I'd argue, like, in this situation, you gain a free meal, so you've gained the system.
Izzy, are you sure you read the stats correctly? Boban's a 78% free throw shooter?
Okay, I was slightly off. 76, but it's
still
good.
For his career.
For his career, yes.
Okay, I'm stunned by that.
I explained to my wife over the weekend that there's a Boban Marjanovic, Bogdan Bogdanovic, and Bogdan Marjanovic, I think, or Bojan Marjanovic.
And you explained this.
I did. I was trying to explain it at least. And now I just messed it up because I literally was trying to explain over the weekend because of this video. And that's how much difficulty I had. At least your wife is clear on this though, right? We have a good time.
She's so confused.
She loves me.
That's why you just refer to him as Boban.
Exactly.
It's easier to do it that way. So you guys thought I was mean by pointing out the size of his ears?
Yeah. It felt like an unnecessary shot.
Big guy. Big ears. Big guy. Big nose. Big everything.
All right. His movies.
All right. Hey, well, if I may, it is against all human nature for a person that size to be that physically fit and run up and down a court with that many muscles. So he is an amazing physical specimen in every other way.
Careful, he can hear you.
And also his ears are unusually large by any measure, even if you were to argue that they were proportional, they are substantive ears. They are just substantive.
So then you could have picked any body part.
Yeah, it just didn't feel like relevant to the story. Like, it had nothing to do with the chicken.
At the time he said it, though, the only thing he could see were his ears. I mean, in Dan's defense.
It's frozen on the screen, and the ears are a little bit distracting, but okay. Fair enough that I probably shouldn't be body shaming a majestic and amazing athlete because he's got satellite dishes for ears.
We got another sideswipe there.
I thought ears were okay to make fun of, though. I thought ears, they're ears, like cauliflower ears.
Not anymore. No.
Yeah, not anymore?
Because woke.
Yep. Just not sure.
I thought the two safe spaces were JPP's firecracker fingers.
For me.
That's no longer in play. Yeah, okay, no, so that's no. What else has been taken off? What else has been taken off the table? Because I know Rick Ross is going after, didn't he? Is he claiming that Drake got both an ab job and a nose job?
Those are the claims, Dano. He called them BBL Drizzy, even though BBL is something else. But yes, he claims he got a nose job and claims he got the, I don't know what surgery it is to like implant.
What
abs.
Is that?
Implants?
So you can do like ab implants?
Yeah.
So he said he had 25% body fat, but like an 8-pack. I didn't know you could do that.
All the time you wasted doing sit-ups, Izzy.
Unbelievable. Oh, is it ab etching? This article in GQ says, welcome to the era of the fake six-pack.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Chiseled visible abs were once something you'd only see on genetically gifted gym rats, but these days a growing number of men are paying big money to have the surgeon do the chiseling for
Rick
them.
Rick Ross is claiming that Drake
is that what you have?
$40,000 for that. That's what Rick Ross is claiming.
Huh. That's it?
What happened in the days of just getting out in the gym, eating right, doing some core work, right? As a celebrity, you got a lot of time on your hands.
Right.
Do it the right way.
Chuck Norris is total gym. That's how you used to do it. Slide on a thing and pull body weight.
The Bowflex.
You fell for that too?
And Peloton, of course.
Tony, Izzy,
not the ab roller.
What do you have for me? Jadakiss is mad because J. Cole is sitting out the beef, says beef is necessary for hip-hop. He says, Jadakiss says that he was really dismayed that J. Cole didn't use his skills to fire back. And now Rick Ross is entering the fray, and he's not fooling around, right? I thought he and Drake were friends.
They were. They've got a bunch of really good songs together, but it feels like right now there's been a lot of play back and forth on social media where there's been a leak track of what could be a Drake response to Kendrick.
Some people think it's AI, right?
Some people think it's AI. We don't have 100% clarity on it because we don't know. Drake hasn't come out and said it. It hasn't dropped from OVO. Like, there's some nebulous stuff around it. But something got leaked. Then Rick Ross came out on his own and was like, I'm making this super personal. And then Ross dropped something. So there's a lot of back and forth right now. Drake put up a picture of Uma Thurman in Kill Bill where it's her against everybody in the army. And it feels like that right now in hip-hop, everybody's going at Drake.
I think the initial diss track response was thought to be AI. This one is official. It's Drake's. And this is what I love about this. All these beefs don't always like get me. This one got me from the very beginning because it was basically Kendrick just blowing up and saying, hey, you guys don't remember what hip hop is like. This is what hip hop is like. I'm supposed to say that I'm better than you. I'm better than everybody. And, you know, I might threaten violence. OK, and that's where J. Cole in the song that that he's referencing here, that Kendrick is referencing, he literally said, guys are reading into my lyrics too much. I am not sneak dissing. If I hit you, you will know that I hit you. And what did Kendrick do? He said, nope, I consider that a sneak diss, and went nuclear. And now everybody's in on this. And this, and when J. Cole did his response, it felt like he was just sort of listing his resume, kind of like what Nas did, or what Jay-Z did to Nas. And that to me was boring. But now, when you're talking gossip, you're talking fake six pack, you're talking Drake sort of throwing this little Easter egg out there to Kendrick and say, hey, I know stuff. I'm going to mention your wife's name. If you come back at me, wait till you hear the stuff that I throw out. And to me, it's a soap opera that is hip hop. And right now we're in the middle of it. Everybody is contributing, even 50-year-old Rick Ross.
It's cool because we talked about it last week and all the times that it elevates people's play, right? When you have this sort of versus, it's like, all right, how can I be better than X person? And it feels like Drake let out something that was really good. Like, I heard the track, I thought it was good. Drake is in a weird spot because he has to go back into his catalog and worry about this, the disses that he's done in the past, back to back with Meek Mill, where that became a banger and anthem for a ton of people. So it was like, how do you best yourself?
Update on the ab etching situation in this article. Apparently, this accusation about Drake has been out there for at least a couple years because someone wrote on one of his Instagrams, Carnage, who's a DJ, said, you got fake ab surgery in Colombia. You ain't fooling anybody. And now the post is deleted.